I hereby call the regular meeting of the City of Tacoma Planning Commission for May 5th, to order. And first, I'm going to call for a quorum call. We were just counting our commissioners, and I do believe we have a quorum. Do we have any commissioners absent at this point?
Yes, Chair Peterson, Commissioner Santov is absent. He has asked to be excused. And with that, we should expect 8 members present. You currently have, I believe, 7. I can't see the entire screen, but you do have a quorum now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. So the first thing is the we need to approve today's agenda and the minutes for April 7th, which includes the oral testimony from home in Tacoma. So do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move adoption of the minutes and the agenda.
All right, Commissioner Carnes has made the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Strobel has seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Do I have any opposed? Seeing no opposed, the agenda for today and the minutes of April 7th have been approved. Next, I would like to do our land acknowledgement. I almost skipped right over that. Sorry. The Tacoma Planning Commission recognizes the lands in which we are holding this meeting are both the original and current homelands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. Since the time immemorial, they have been stewards of these lands and waterways. We recognize the responsibility bestowed upon the Tacoma Planning Commission, as the decisions must be mindfully deliberated as they have lasting impacts to the tribe, their land base, and their treaty-protected rights to fish, hunt, and gather. This commission recognizes the importance of and encourages regular, meaningful consultation with the tribe over land use decisions while preserving the tribe's treaty rights and supporting tribal self-determination and sovereignty. Right, so now we will go to our next agenda item C, which is public comments. We do not take public comments on the Home in Tacoma project because we did have a public hearing. I am aware that we received 4 comment letters on discussion item number 2, which is the 2022 amendment applications. Leon, do you have anything you want to share with us about those? We've all received them and read them at this
Yes,
point.
that's all the 4 pieces of written comments received by noon today, which have been forwarded to you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so next is disclosure of contacts. Do any commissioners have any disclosures they'd like to make regarding the Home in Tacoma project or the, I guess, the amendment applications? Commissioner Carnes?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to disclose that I had email conversations with Historic Tacoma, Jamie Hill, and Nathan Rosenbaum concerning Home in Tacoma.
Okay, thank you. Any others? Okay, seeing no others, Commissioner Edmonds? You're muted.
Yes, I understand.
You're muted again.
How about now?
Go ahead and speak.
Whoops, sorry, couldn't help that. Now you guys are gone. What is going on?
Just go ahead and do your disclosure.
I will disclose that I have had several conversations with realtors in my office, members of the Tacoma Pierce County Association of Realtors on this subject of Home in Tacoma.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, seeing no others, we will move on to our discussion item E. And Commissioner Edmonds, if you are having problems with your screen and seeing things, I'm hoping BT might be able to help you out there with some instructions. So just message BT. All right, so Home and Tacoma Project, we are continuing our debrief on the hearing, which happened on April 7th. We will continue talking about the comments received. We are going to be moving forward from where we left off last week. So at this point, we hopefully will be giving further direction to staff at the close of this discussion item. So I'm going to pass this on to Mr. Burnett for his presentation and to get us going on our conversation.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I didn't clip the end of your comments there with my screen share. Yes, good afternoon, commissioners and members of the public who might be here in the meeting with us. I'm Elliot Barnett, planning. And yes, I'm here to continue the conversation that we've been having, a really robust one around the public comments on the Home Tacoma project. We did take a little bit longer than the original schedule would have provided, just because there's lots and lots to go through and really a tremendous amount that we will continue to learn from in those 900 comments that we got moving forward. We are on a schedule to have the commission forward your recommendations to council at your next meeting. And so our hope today is to build on what you told us last time. You've already given us, you know, lots of direction, lots of input. My hope is that today you'll give us, additional input on the remaining kind of bigger issues. I really see those primarily as, you know, further refinements to, you know, maybe the scale and the design standards for the low and mid-scale proposed designations. And then around the geography, you know, the two housing growth scenarios and the packet now has those two hybrid scenarios in it. And then lastly, just getting growth right. Where can we strengthen the policies? Are there any gaps? We've identified some things that I'll talk through with you now, and then I hope that you'll, you know, tell us the rest of other aspects that we can make these recommendations stronger or better, representing the commission's perspectives. And then also, I'll just mention up front, you know, you might have some detailed comments, whether it's in looking at the map, and you might see something you think we did inconsistently. You can let. I also just would like to say, even after this meeting, if you have something like that, or I remember a commissioner a while back saying that he had some detailed language comments, those kinds of things, I'd love to get those as well. And if they're not, you know, substantive, they don't necessarily have to take up commission time. But long and short of it, we hope we can get as much direction as we can tonight and prepare those recommendations for you to take a look at next time. So we're continuing to try to walk through this in terms of this logical structure, which I hope is helpful in thinking about the proposals and continues from last time as well. And the first item, in terms of the vision, you know, you really weighed in and clarified last time that yes, the commission is still largely on board with this idea about moving away from exclusive single family zoning, along with the commitments to get that growth right and to try and do and try and meet multiple goals with our housing actions. Based on some of the conversations last time, we offer a few refinements this is a big need. The city should move decisively to take action there. That's pretty consistent with what you've said previously. You did clarify that you support the missing middle housing proposals on a citywide basis as opposed to going, you know, neighborhood by neighborhood. And then just a stronger commitment that implementation should unfold when we can really be sure that we have the steps in place to manage that growth. So these are kind of just refinements that don't change the substance, but I hope capture what the commission wants to say about that vision. And secondly, in terms of project timing and engagement, as you know, that's a big theme and there's lots and lots of interest and people want to learn more and they want to be able to participate moving forward with this. So that was a clear call. Last time you did say that you felt that the engagement up to this point has been what it needs to be to support the decision that we are making now about that vision and policy direction. But you also talked about calling for more time and to make sure that the council maybe revisits its initial schedule, which has the phase two zoning and standards and everything wrapping up by the end of this year, by December, that this project may take more time to do that right with the engagement that's needed. There's also one of the themes that came out of comment was that the city should commit to revisiting, once these housing rules changes are in place, revisit the outcomes, see if they're what the city was envisioning, and quickly respond to unintended consequences. So that could be a revision that would go into your recommendations. And then also just a recognition that this is a big step, but it's a citywide look at our housing growth strategy, and that we also need to do neighborhood and corridor planning that would further refine this, perhaps modify where those transitions are between the low scale and the mid scale moving forward. So really, in terms of the vision and in terms of the timing, no major changes, but I felt that those five or six refinements would probably reflect what the commission has told us up to this point. And at this point, I've got a few pauses built into this presentation here. This is pause number one, just to see if I've got that correct, if the commission has further direction on those two topics.
Okay, so we're sticking to the topic at hand, and that is vision and timing. So the question to the commission is what Mr. Barnett has in front of us and in that staff report regarding vision and timing, is that where we think this should be and where we are going, how we're going forward? Does anybody have any comments on that? Commissioner Carnes.
I would concur that yes, that is in keeping with, I think, what the commission stated at the last meeting, that in terms of the vision and the timing, that that all of the elements that you noted are appropriate modifications to the vision and timing.
Thank you. Commissioner Edmonds. You're muted.
Thank you. I would really like to see, as part of the vision, an emphasis on the neighborhoods. We have stated in other places in the document that a goal is to complement Tacoma's distinctive neighborhoods. And my sense of the public comments is a lot of the angst and fear comes from a sense that their neighborhoods are going to be dramatically changed and they are not going to have any ability to participate in that discussion. So I think we might be able to relieve a lot of fear if we add into the vision a statement that we're working towards all of Tacoma, but we also are acknowledging the importance of the distinctive neighborhoods within our communities. The second comment I have is under the engagement. In the same theme, I would like to emphasize engagement with the neighborhood councils. The city of Tacoma has a unique neighborhood structure, and we need to take advantage of that when we're making broad citywide decisions such as this one. So I would like to see that also inserted into the engagement piece. Again, I think it will help residents feel a little bit more, they won't feel secure, but they'll at least feel that there's going to be an opportunity for them to voice their opinions. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair McGinnis.
Thank you. Yeah, I would concur with that. I think that the vision portion is a really good part to area for us to say that we're not envisioning or attempting to, significantly change the flavor and the character of the neighborhoods. So I like that comment. I'd concur with that.
Commissioner Torres?
When we say in the timing, when we say call for more time for phase two, what are your ideas on that, Elliot, on how, what that increased timing would look like? Because originally it was phase two would be like June through December. So what are you envisioning that expanded time frame would be?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I don't have a very specific timeline. I only have the kind of experience of the past 9 months or so to sort of judge from. And, just having been, deeply involved in it, it just takes a lot of time. I mean, even to sort of build the engagement strategy and platform, I can envision taking, a few months once council makes that direction. Even the council decision point is moved back a little bit just because of avoiding the Port Tideflats public hearing process. And so they're not making their decision until July. That's 5 months, really. And is 5 months enough to assess the design standards, the infrastructure, there's just a lot of things that the community has called out as being very important, and just that big desire for a lot of community engagement. So we don't have a specific timeline in mind, but just feel that 5 months is probably going to be challenging.
I agree. I don't like to not have a timeline though, because then I fear that it will just go into this like amorphous space of like, oh, we just have this ongoing timeline and things won't necessarily, I mean, I know we're going to move forward, move things forward as much as we can. I liked having a definitive like July through December. So I know it's hard to put timelines, especially how we're doing business now. I just like kind of having a set, like benchmark for us to meet. And of course we can move that as needed. But yeah, that's my only feedback.
Thank you, Commissioner Torres. And I echo Commissioner Torres, like I think we need to move forward. So, but I also agree that the initial timeline was too fast. So it would be good to see something. Commissioner Givens.
Yeah, I concur with what all the other commissioners said. Oh, and thank you, Madam Chair, for recognizing me. I've learned a lot of patience through this process, so I'm actually would be okay if it slows down a little bit. But I guess my little caveat would be if we do support this policy decision, I would support maybe streamlining or moving duplex development up just so it could start to address that housing crisis in the near term. And it kind of mimics single family houses that we see today. So those are my general comments.
Thank you. And I guess I was going to suggest something similar to Commissioner Givens, whereas I, realize we've got a lot of things that we have slated for phase two, and maybe we can break phase two into a phase 2A and 2B or something, so that there are some things that can get going sooner. I don't know if that's possible logistically or not, or if that just causes more problems, but something to throw out there and think about.
And commissioners, I feel like that's those are ideas that I think we could work with. And, first of all, make the statement that it's still an urgent need and that we need to identify the things that can move more quickly and do so, and then take the time that's needed for the other things that require that. So I can put that together. I believe that's a pretty good direction.
All right, thank you. Anybody else have any comments on the vision and timing? If not, we will move on to, I believe it's geography, correct?
The second item I was going to talk about was sort of details or refinements about the two different proposed residential designations, the low scale and the mid scale. And for this, I have a few quick background slides. And I'll say as well that at the last commission meeting, you already gave high level direction on a lot of this, but there are some additional refinements especially in terms of kind of how to manage the scale difference, which is one of the big concerns of the community, of course. One of the questions, of course, had to do with, you know, where to draw the boundary between different housing types. At the last meeting, we did hear the commission largely reaffirming the division that's in the public review draft, where if you sort of drew a line after cottage housing, you would have, those would be the permitted by right in the low scale, and then small multifamily, fourplex and medium, fourplex and small multifamily, would be kind of conditional or in certain circumstances in the low scale. And then this medium multifamily would be only looked at for the mid scale. I have this in a different format here, but I think the pictures hopefully help a little bit. And really, this is just the reminder slide that you've seen many times, the idea of the low scale being that the height and yard patterns and so forth are generally compatible with our existing single family neighborhoods. And then this is an attempt to kind of summarize all the primary points about that low scale designation. And then I have a similar one for the mid-scale designation. And so this is really just to double check and reconfirm this housing type supported list, which we did talk about last time, see if there, if there are any further modifications to that. And then we've identified a few things. Townhouses is listed here. And in our code, really, that's just refers to a difference in ownership. For townhouses, it's an attached unit or two or more units where they're owned separately. That's really the only distinction that we make. Sometimes townhouses means a kind of a design concept, but that's not what we're referring to here. So really, a duplex and triplex and townhouses are kind of the same thing. It's two or three units that are attached. We thought that needed to be clarified in the package. Another idea that came out of some of the comments was, let's clarify that two ADUs is another housing type we hadn't listed in the original proposal, but again, that amounts to three units, basically, that would be on, probably make sense to fit into this housing types list here. And then we have this division between kind of allowed generally or allowed by right, and then allowed in some circumstances. We could add a little bit more clarity about when those housing types should be allowed. We talked last time about, a locational test. If you're close to the center or the corridor, the higher density end of the scale, that supports the idea of this higher end of housing types. If we want to encourage certain public benefits, like the reuse of an existing building or including affordable units, green features or other goals, that's a good, that's a policy connection that you could make to allowing the higher number of units. And a conditional use permit process could make sense for some or all of these higher end units there. Those are some staff ideas based on what you told us last time. And we wanted to see what the commission feels about those. And then last time during the standards discussion, we did hear that the commission was interested in specifying height as being no taller than three stories for that low scale. That's really already the case in our single family zones, basically would allow 2 to 3 stories based on our existing height. And in some cases, if you're in a view sensitive district, it would really be 2 stories. So the proposal would suggest matching the height to the adjacent, that's actually part of the next conversation, specificity about height, if there's any specificity about building scale and setbacks and so forth, this is kind of the time that we'd love to hear from the commission, whether these ideas that staff suggested should be integrated in or whether there are any further refinements.
Thank you, Elliot. Vice Chair McGinnis.
Thank you. Elliot, I would ask about your inclusion of the term mobile homes. I would prefer that not be included. Tiny homes make sense, but mobile homes, I'm not wouldn't be terribly. I mean, if that means what I think it means, what it typically means, I would think that that's not what you're where you're headed, but maybe I'm wrong.
Would the term modular or prefabricated be?
Yeah, modular is better.
Gotcha.
Thank you. So I agree with Vice Chair McGinnis on the mobile homes. I would like to see the definition of modular versus prefabricated, because in my definition of prefabricated, that makes sense. Modular still seems to me to be something that might not be as permanent, and I worry about building code. And so I think we do need to make sure we talk to the building department and talk about what kind of structures are actually allowed. I've worked in a lot of jurisdictions where, you know, something like those tiny homes on wheels, for example, aren't actually allowed per building code. So we don't want to write in something to our zoning code that somebody actually can't do. So I just want to make sure we're careful about that. And I guess for the in some circumstances area, I'm wondering if some of the details of that should actually be worked out in our phase two when we talk about design guidelines and whatnot, because a fourplex can look like a twoplex or it could look like a single family home, depending on the design. And so I think that we kind of came to an agreement at our last meeting that was all more about how something fit into the neighborhood than the actual number of families on the site or on the building site. And the same with townhomes. I mean, it's, you know, there's different ways that those can be done. And especially with the definition of townhomes just being individual ownership as opposed to, you know, the stereotypical townhome. So I think we need to maybe work that out in phase two. The only other thing I have a concern about, and that's under your land use designations column, and I'm going to mention it because you've got that slide up right now, is I think we should remove the reference to parking. And that's all I have for that. Are there any other commissioners with thoughts they would like to share? Commissioner Gibbons.
I really like where this is going. I feel like I've been heard. I feel like it's also, we're responding to kind of the fears that we heard from the community. And we're making a commitment. And we're actually putting it in writing on like building scale. But then, yeah, we can work out all the details, you know, in the zoning code. But like, this makes me feel really good. And then, like, for me, is like, say, the triplex, like, for me, that's kind of a negotiating thing for me. Like, if there's like half the commission that doesn't want it to go forward because of the triplex, you know, that's probably one of those building types that I would probably concede on just to get consensus. So I just wanted to put that out there. But overall, Elliot, I thought you did a great job of responding to what you heard.
Commissioner Strobel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Elliot, just sort of a clarifying question. When we're talking about shared housing, is this inclusive of types of housing types like micro units, for instance? I'm just sort of curious about that.
Yeah, thanks for that question. And we really haven't delved deeply into that. Shared housing, we refer to co-housing as one model for shared housing. But there's also just sort of things like group homes, things like, you know, other places where a number of people are sharing, you know, a kitchen, for example. Mm-hmm. And so the details have not been fully ironed out there, but you know, this would call for us to kind of explore that and develop that those proposals further as part of phase two.
Okay, yeah, I would probably want to shy away from, you know, in this being low scale residential of that type of particular type and sort of seen the example of projects that I've seen elsewhere and really see shared housing defined in a way that is not so much along a micro housing type, just in that I've seen the exploitation of code and micro units in other jurisdictions. And I don't think it's necessarily the intent of what we're trying to do here in a low scale residential setting. So that's just my one comment.
We can flesh that out a bit more, I think, and certainly clarify that we're not talking about micro units and kind of a higher density project, if that would help.
Yeah.
Commissioner Carnes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have one note in terms of the so the standards common to both that was in the packet. We make reference to pedestrian orientation to the sidewalk and the street and street trees, but I'd also kind of like to add in pedestrian lighting. I think that's a good feature that's in some of our more historic neighborhoods that really does add to sort of the pedestrian feel of those neighborhoods, and it really does provide a good benefit, I think, to the public. Other than that, I do concur with specifying a height limit at this time in low scale. I think that would really help to assuage some of the fears of the community. I don't know if we necessarily have to identify, you know, whether or not there's a locational reference or, a bonus for green features or such, but I think we should identify that, that those in some circumstances units would be contingent upon a conditional use permit process.
Any other comments from commissioners or questions? All right, Elliot, do you have any comments or questions for us before we move on?
No, thank you. Thank you, everyone. I know that this feels a little sort of freewheeling to me as we discuss this here, if you understand what I mean. I feel as though I can work with that and come back with, you know, with some tweaks and refinements to respond to the issues that the commission is raising right now. As long as you're generally good with this direction, we can build in the specifications that you're giving us into the final package for next time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, then I'll take that as my cue to move on to the mid-scale residential. And there, of course, commissioners, you're more than familiar with this concept of the mid-scale residential, so I won't redefine it. You're also aware that this area, or this housing proposed designation did inspire some more concerns. And it seems that the primary ones really just had to do with compatibility, height, scale, and transitions. We've got some ideas that we hope will try to address that and make this work a little bit better. I have a little drawing. This is not a very good sort of graphical demonstration here, but this is a 3-4-story image here. And it seemed that last time the commission indicated that, 3-4 stories next to taller buildings is probably okay, but a 3-4-story building next to 1 or 2-story buildings, probably not okay. And so in working with that, we have a few proposals to try and manage those scale transitions. So the mid-scale, of course, we've talked already a little bit about the housing types and haven't heard any specific changes there. But around height, we heard several options last time. One was allowing 3 stories kind of as the baseline, but 4 stories only in certain circumstances, whether that was you know, next to the center corridor on that higher density side where of the transition. Whether that was, again, as a bonus for certain desired features. And then near the low scale areas, to match the height of the adjacent low scale areas, which would generally be 2 to 3 stories in height. And then that would address to a large extent that the consistency with the view sensitive districts where they have those lower heights and be a step towards addressing those view concerns that some people had. So those are some changes that we would recommend to refine this concept of the mid-scale. And then similarly, scale control. We've got height, that's, you know, a very important measure of how big a building is, of course. But the other is just how kind of massive and how much bulk does that building have. We've talked a lot about that. And we would propose for your consideration that as part of phase two, we could actually study, you know, kind of the general scale that exists around the neighborhoods of the city, because different neighborhoods do have different scales today. If you look at, you know, kind of some of our float properties, you know, kind of in West Tacoma, for example, the scale there is a lot lower and there's a lot of one-story buildings as opposed to older neighborhoods where you have a lot more two-story buildings and a denser scale of development. And we can actually develop relative scales that buildings would need to comply with as part of this mid-scale concept. And then similarly, that the scale would increase when you get closer to the higher end, the centers, corridors, or transit, and go down when you get towards the lower end transition. And again, that concept of tying the scale, like the height, to a bonus, to bonus features that we're trying to encourage. And then lastly, the scale could be tied to conditional use permit. These are all concepts that if the commission thinks these are valid and they're in the right direction, we can add them in without saying that it must be this one, but not that one. But we could say that these are the types of criteria that we need to study and refine as part of that phase two of the project. So we think that with that, there would be methods to really manage what we think were kind of the worst concerns or the kind of worst case scenarios of the 4-story building next to the 1-story house, or the, you know, the totally out of scale idea that some people had. So with that, I'd love to hear what the commission thinks about those potential refinements.
I'll go first since nobody has their hand up. I think that scale is much more important than height. As you mentioned, our neighborhoods vary quite a bit. And so a 2-story home that has a, you know, steeply peaked roof on top of the 2nd story, which, you know, so therefore is about the same height at max as a 2.5 to 3-story home, would not be, the scale of a 3-story building next door would not be, you know, ridiculous and out of the question. Whereas if you're going, you know, to some of our neighborhoods where maybe more of the houses are ranch style and single story, yeah, a 3-story would look kind of odd. But, you know, maybe a 2-story is fine, or something where, you know, if it's built on a hill, it's got that, you know, partial story underneath. So I think we really need to watch how much, I don't know how to put this, but we really just need to watch like the focus on stories. So I don't want us focusing. I mean, we already know you can't go more than 4 stories. And then I think we really, really need to focus on scale and scale in that particular neighborhood. If you go into, you know, the North Slope, for example, a 4-story building would not look out of place. There are 4-story buildings, and there are 3-story buildings with quite a bit on their roof. There are 3-story single family homes in that neighborhood. It would look out of place, you know, by Point Defiance possibly, for some of those areas by Point Defiance. Some of those houses are quite large. So I think I know a lot of our public comments really focused on those stories, but I think we need to rewrite the story about building heights. And I really, really want to push for focusing on scale and not limiting creativity in building design. Commissioner Gibbons.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had similar thoughts, Madam Chair. You know, here's the urban designer of me, you know, coming in. I really like kind of this guidance and putting in some policy language of, you know, where this might work. And it also would give us guidance and also applicants of what zone to choose to implement the land use category, because, you know, we have the R3 and then the R4L. So this would give us a guidance, you know, what would be appropriate. And then say like an applicant wouldn't always just defer to the R4L just because it has this, you know, land use classification. So that's kind of where I'm looking at. So I think we can probably right size this at the block by block level through the rezone process. So hopefully that makes sense and gives you some guidance.
Commissioner Strobel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You really missed the opportunity to say retelling the story on stories, but, you know, I'll keep that. So, Elliot, I am agreeing as well. I think if we sort of fall along the lines of a scale conversation, we can sort of fine-tune this based off of a neighborhood versus neighborhood sort of scale. And I think it'll also be good legislative intent for when this gets revisited as other parts, other specific mixed use neighborhoods or where this is going to be applied, where if we have sort of a scale intent to our neighborhoods and they continue to grow and we continue to see these types of housing, you know, we can go and reevaluate what that scale is at a later time than really just marrying ourselves to a particular story or height specific to an area. And so I do like the scale conversation.
So several commissioners have weighed in on the scales. I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor to Commissioner Carnes now, and hopefully he'll talk about scales too.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, I concur that we can look at this scale as a method of scaling new development. My comment is mostly relating to parking, and it states here, you know, moderate to low on-site parking. What I'd like to sort of move in the direction of instead is more flexible on-site parking, you know, potentially looking at ways of you know, changing, you know, like providing bicycle parking, you know, providing direct access to, you know, bus stops or something. You know there's probably a number of other ways that we can talk about access than simply establishing a parking, you know, a hard parking requirement. And so that's the comment that I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Carnes. I agree with that. I'd like to strike that statement about moderate to low on-site parking. And once again, I think parking should be about scale and fitting in with the neighborhood, because nothing's going to look worse in a single family neighborhood than a multifamily building going up with a parking lot that's visible from the street. Commissioner Gibbons.
Yeah, the parking got brought in the conversation, so I wanted to just say, yeah, I think I'm on board with just striking the references to parking, because it is starting to evolve into a different kind of an animal, and also where these are located. I just would hate to commit to on the term on site concerns me.
I'm hearing
any other. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, any other commissioners have anything to say? All right. Elliot, do you have any questions for us?
Only just to confirm the, what I think are the themes I'm hearing, which are one, the to just strike the statement about a specific amount of on-site parking and instead refer to meeting transportation needs, transportation choices for both of these two concepts. So this is one thing I heard. And secondly, that scale is much more important than height, and that that we would assumedly just retain the statement that four stories would be the maximum, but perhaps beyond that, really just emphasize that scale is the important concept here, rather than height.
Yeah, so four stories is not guaranteed, it's the maximum.
Right. So with those things, I think I have enough to put together to take this to the next level.
Okay, Commissioner Givens, did you have a clarifying point you need to
make? Yeah, just a quick question. So in phase two, it's basically the zoning portion of it. If, say, we identify a new zone that would, implement this, would we have to amend the One Tacoma plan again to actually list those new zones, or is there enough flexibility to move forward?
Great question. As you may have noticed, we do call out the zone names in the future land use table right now. And so so we do call out R3 and R4L, although they are changed to low scale resident or mid scale residential as opposed to multifamily. I think that we may be able to sort of give the commission a little bit of room to revisit the zoning designations, but that we would have those as a starting point for phase two. I think we can structure this so that you're not locked in to those specific formulations of zones, is what I'm saying, if that's what the commission would like to have it say. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I just want to know context. I just want to know what we're working with, but I'm fine.
Yeah. I guess I thought there were just going to be two zones, but if there's a vision for more than two zones, then yeah, please write that in to give us that flexibility. But my understanding is that those two land use designations were going to each correspond to a zone. Maybe I'm wrong.
They each correspond to a two or three zones. Like the low scale corresponds to R1, R2, and the special review districts. There's a few of those, and then the mid scale would correspond to R3 and R4L. So there are already some kind of different versions of those concepts that are based on our current zoning framework, but we may find in revisiting that framework that further changes might be warranted. I think we could probably make note of that as part of these recommendations.
Okay. All right, then I think we can move on to the next.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for walking through those. And I hope that, that fine tuning on what those two concepts are may help with this next exercise, which is the geography of where should we have low and where should we have mid-scale. We prepared a couple of hybrid maps that I hope you had a chance to look at the static versions in your packet from last week. In our heads, as we were planning this meeting, we were thinking we'd be able to give you the interactive version a little sooner. We were only able to send it out earlier today, but you may have been able to take a peek at it. And I have it here in case you want to see. I can zoom into any particular location. And you could even have another device and kind of be playing with it, right now as we're having this conversation. But the two hybrids are based on, again, it's kind of a low and a high. Hybrid one, there was an interest last time in looking at only having mid-scale along corridors, designated corridors. So that's what hybrid one does. It only looks at a one block distance on either side of designated corridors. There was also a concept there of looking at high capacity transit. In looking at the kind of transit system maps, we think those are pretty much the same or that the corridors include the city's current high capacity transit routes pretty well. So it ended up being just the corridors in that hybrid one. Hybrid two, to just give you another version of this, did still integrate centers, and we put two blocks, which was in between the previous two scenarios. There were so kind of a midpoint there, as well as two blocks on corridors, and then only one block on other transit lines. So ways to think about these two hybrids, you can see kind of the percentages. Our current breakdown of these areas is 90% single family and 10% low. Hybrid one would be only 84% low scale and 16%, so a little bit more of that mid scale. And then hybrid two would be, 60-40 or so. So just to put that into context, neither one of these is as much as the transform scenario was from the preliminary recommendations. That was mostly mid-scale, more than half mid-scale. So both of these are kind of stepping back from the transform, but the hybrid one is actually even less mid-scale than the evolve scenario was. So you can take a look at that. The other thing that we did in this exercise was I spent a lot of time looking at street grids and layouts and parcel lines on things. And so the transition from low to mid now follows streets as much as we could make it. Obviously, there are very different street grids around the city. So that did mean that in some areas, it's a narrower width of mid-scale, and in others, it's a broader one. And I can show you some of those examples. We also reflected certain barriers, things like freeways and steep slopes, where it didn't really make sense that it was a walkable route to the higher density areas. And there are even some areas where, the block didn't connect through because of a steep slope in the back. I left those out as well, just to try to, have a lower scale in areas where you didn't have a complete network of streets. We noticed in doing this exercise, this round of exercise, that there are a few cleanups. There are some parks and open space areas that are still designated as residential. It's kind of a legacy of how we used to kind of do our mapping before we had a parks and open space layer, but we would propose to, just clean that up and designate them consistent with other parks and open space. So some cleanups on the map. We noted as well that the airport compatibility overlay district, it's not proposed to move into the low scale category. So it kind of just needs to be addressed separately. Those are cleanups that we would recommend under whatever of these hybrids the commission moves forward with. So here you see the two maps in all their glory. And I can pull up the interactive map if there's interest in that, if that seems like it would be useful. Or I can, I can sort of zoom in on different areas, whatever the commission thinks would be the most expeditious. And I was trying to think of what questions to ask you or how to try to frame this question here. And my thoughts are, clearly if you're trying to create as much housing opportunity as possible, if that's the goal, then more mid-scale is better in that regard, right? So you could certainly go bigger and designate more mid-scale. On the other hand, mid-scale is also the area where people are a little bit more concerned. And so that, that wars against it. And you could end up well with, if you're just trying to judge this on how much mid-scale, you might end up with like a hybrid of the hybrids here, sort of a midpoint between these two. And we can talk about, what that would look like. And then the other question that I thought I'd ask the commission to consider here is, what are your priorities? If you want to really focus, say, on walkability and on walkable neighborhoods, there's an argument for looking at mid-scale near centers, because in theory, centers are kind of the most walkable areas where you have shopping as well as transportation choices. If you want to focus, just on transit, then the corridors and transit routes, obviously that's where those features are present. There may be grounds for kind of a more neighborhood by neighborhood, or nuanced approach. I know that the commission's been interested in finding space for mid-scale, for example, in Northeast Tacoma, in an area where there currently isn't very much mid-scale housing supply or land supply. So far we haven't really started going neighborhood by neighborhood, but this would be the chance for the commission to, you know, make a final determination. Are we applying a single logic across the city, or are there some grounds, are there basis to make distinctions between different neighborhoods? So those are some perspectives I have. I know this is kind of a difficult task, and I'm happy to support it by being quiet or answering questions, whatever would be helpful. So with that, I leave the hard work to you all.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I have some thoughts on this, but I will let some of the other commissioners go first. So Vice Chair McGinnis.
Thank you. First of all, Elliot, thanks for sending this out earlier. I did get a chance to click around on it and take a look at it and look at the different scenarios and take a look at everything you've got there. What I like about hybrid one, and I will start with that, is it's, you know, as we have talked about the comments, there are a lot of concerns about the mid-level. And my thoughts on it are that starting with that, we can always continue to turn the crank up. But when we started with some of the ones that have more than mid-level, it's a little harder to turn the crank back, if you will. The other thing I like about hybrid one is I am a big proponent for neighborhood by neighborhood kind of analysis. And I like it because I think it still leaves us quite a bit of room to look at the neighborhoods, but also kind of puts a stake in the ground. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Commissioner Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, Elliot, I have a question. The map on the left is hybrid one, correct? And then it's hybrid two. So yes. I can see that clearly between one and two, but I also see in hybrid two, mid-scale where it was didn't exist before in hybrid one. So they aren't new corridors. I think Northeast Tacoma is a great example. So what was the thinking to create the pink lines that didn't exist at all in hybrid one?
Sure, yeah. Well, so it's all going back to the original logic of looking at centers, designated corridors, and transit lines. And in our original two scenarios, scenario one, evolved housing choices, it didn't include transit lines that were not also corridors. And so for that scenario, there was no mid-scale in Northeast Tacoma because there are no corridors up there.
Correct.
But in the transform scenario, there was some mid-scale in Northeast Tacoma because it followed the bus line that goes there. And if you look at the interactive map, you can actually activate those two layers and kind of see how these two hybrids compare back to the other two original scenarios.
Okay, thank you. I want to echo what Commissioner McGinnis has said. I also favor hybrid one for much of the same reasons that it's easier to go more dense, but it's going to be harder to roll back. I also think hybrid one is going to be less controversial with the public. And lastly, you know, I'm hearing a theme. When we talked about neighborhood scale, we talked about neighborhoods. And now we're talking about in hybrid one by hybrid two, mentioning that we might go down to a neighborhood level. So that to me begs the question, why aren't we incorporating neighborhood plans into this Home in Tacoma project?
And we actually absolutely could, you know, that is a con- that's actually that's one of the recommendations that I think the commission agreed to as part of the timing discussion earlier this evening, that whatever the council does here on a citywide scale, that it needs to be revisited and refined and based on neighborhood planning. Now, the point being, it is a valid point to say that it's probably more along the lines of expanding mid-scale rather than contracting it. That is something that's feasible and could be done. You know, there have been down zones in the past, but it may be more difficult to go back down rather than further expand.
Well, I think if in our brains and in our thinking is neighborhood planning, then I think we need to be specific somewhere in this Home in Tacoma document that we're recommending neighborhood planning, or we say that should happen, perhaps in phase two. I'd like to see more specific language about neighborhood level planning. And I realize that that's going to be a delicate dance because the risk of opening up neighborhood planning is the NIMBYism that could occur. And I can hear that loud and clear up here in Northeast Tacoma. So in doing that type of planning, there's going to have to be whoever is moderating that or guiding that is going to have to be really clear about what elements neighborhoods do have a voice in and what elements they don't. Sort of like a broken record on the fair housing laws is what I'm thinking. And that is all for me. Good job, Elliot. I like hybrid one.
So before we spend any time and kind of go backwards on that neighborhood discussion, this was a discussion we had at our last meeting, and I realized Commissioner Edmonds was not there, but the majority of us agreed that we did not want to do this map neighborhood by neighborhood. And it was one of the main reasons was it was an equity issue. So we are not going to go neighborhood by neighborhood with this map. What we've been discussing is when we talk about guidance with design and fitting in to a neighborhood, that's when we're going to look at things. So we're not going to go backwards on what we decided.
Madam Chair, I wasn't suggesting that this map be done on a neighborhood by neighborhood scale. And if that is how it was interpreted by the commission, then I want to be clear. That is not what my comments were intending. My comments were intending at some point in this document, perhaps as a requirement in phase two.
Yeah, I think we've already established that. We've already established that in phase two when we do the design guidance that we are going to look at the neighborhood and talk about neighborhood scale.
I did not see that in the document. So thank
you. Well, we were just talking about it a few minutes ago. So we've talked about how we're going to look at scale in individual neighborhoods as we look at design guidance and how it's going to be determined how tall a building can be in the massing of a building. So that's when that is going to be addressed. So I want to make sure that this conversation doesn't go backwards into that. Commissioner Carnes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the argument, I think, from a transit perspective has been had sort of in social media circles with that I've been a part of. And the objective really for the mid-scale is to be able to cultivate corridors that can support 15-minute service. And to be able to support 15-minute service, you need to have a certain level of, you know, the increase in the number of units within the walking catchment area of a route. And it's possible, I think, to potentially do that, depending upon how the conditions for what buildings are allowed in which zone in either of these maps, honestly. But one of the things, the constraints that there exists is the amount of revenue that Pierce Transit has to be able to operate on a network that is as large as one in scenario two. So you could potentially do 15-minute service on many more corridors in a scenario one, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to do it on all of the same corridors in a scenario two. But that being said, there are a number of areas, I think, in the scenario one map that are a little bit sparse. There are some pockets of multifamily housing that are not on a corridor, and so they would sort of be these orphaned areas that wouldn't necessarily get improved service. So it's interesting that we have that sort of we have these corridors that are set up, but they also leave out certain areas where we have already zoned for multifamily. I would say that there's like this strip along Sheridan, South Sheridan Avenue, that would connect the Lincoln District to Wapato Park. That's along Route 48, Pierce Transit Route 48. That would also connect some of those orphan pockets of multifamily as well. I don't know when the corridor map actually was developed, but it's meant to connect our mixed use centers to each other. And Point Ruston is not connected via a corridor. So I think it's important, again, so there's that northern leg of Route 11, north of the Proctor District, which it sort of squiggles up from Proctor. And that is slated to connect Proctor, Point Defiance, and Point Ruston. And so I think that if we were to go with a hybrid one scenario, that I would want to have some targeted additions to the mid-scale map. Whereas if we went with a scenario two, there are probably some targeted reductions in mid-scale. And I know that's a lot to take in as input, but so there is room for a hybrid of hybrids.
May I ask a clarification? You just laid out a logic, which I've been just waiting to hear, of how we would make this refinement, and it sounded like it was based on transit. Can you clarify that for me?
So, in terms of transit, what do you mean? So in order to support 15-minute service, you need to have a residential density of roughly 15 to 20 units per acre. And so that should be the objective along the corridors. And it can be met with either of these maps, depending upon design criteria.
Commissioner Torres?
I didn't know I was next. Thank you, Chair. I was looking at the map. So in response to Elliot's questions about what our goals are, you know, I always understood our goal to be to increase our housing capacity as much as possible, you know, in order to address the challenges that we're facing right now in, you know, that a lot of people, you know, can't find housing and you know, homeless or houseless populations increasing. So for me, with that goal in mind, increasing and having as much mid-scale housing as possible is most aligned with that goal, or reach that goal. And then, and you know, in response to some of the comments about you know, there potentially being a lot more pushback around mid-scale, I think those concerns are largely being mitigated by the standards that we're proposing. So hopefully, you know, once we put these revisions out, that there won't be as much hesitancy for the mid-scale across these neighborhoods. And again, to your another one of your questions, Elliot, about like the centers, the corridors, and the transit and stuff. Like I just want to see it as much as possible. And I'm not an expert on like the transit and the density and what we need. But I mean, I'm looking at the map and seeing that there's not really any any proposed, you know, increases in density along like MLK, like in the Hilltop, where like the link is coming and things like that, where, you know, if the, you know, once the link is there, that would mean that more people, you know, would be able to use that to get to other areas of town and increase that kind of walkability and those transit usages. So again, with our goal of increasing housing as much as possible, I'm looking at trying to allow as much mid-scale as we can.
Oh, sorry, Commissioner Strobel, I was trying to look at the map too. Commissioner Strobel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to weigh in on option one a little bit. I look back to our goals about, you know, I look at your previous slide of, you know, our current designation being 90% single family and 10% multifamily, and hybrid one goes to an 84-16 sort of split. And I honestly don't feel good about the option of actually dealing with some of our immediate housing needs and providing, you know, the opportunity for development to create this missing middle housing. I don't think it meets our goal of creating equity throughout the city to actually have, you know, there are clear neighborhoods that are just not going to even be affected by the mid-scale in option one. And so what I would probably propose, or thinking, you know, along the lines of what Commissioner Carnes was going, is the hybrid of hybrids, so to speak. And, you know, and I think if we want transit to be successful in the city, I think applying the transit corridor, or the transit not corridor criteria of option two to option one might be a way for us to create the equity guidelines that we're trying to follow, and provide these housing types throughout the entire city. You know, I said in the last meeting, and, you know, I think in trying to get to some sort of happy medium here amongst the commission, I was concerned about centers not being included to be any sort of, we're talking a lot about scale tonight, but at the same time, you know, option one doesn't include anything around centers that would ultimately provide the scale that people talk about between single family homes and the mixed use neighborhood or mixed use neighborhood districts that provide 4-story plus types of housing. I want to find, you know, what is the happy medium here to provide equity an opportunity and listen to some of those scalability concerns of the community. And I think either inputting something to the effect of the buffer around the centers, or introducing transit, although I'm leaning more after listening to Commissioner Carnes of really wanting to see those transit corridors or those transit lines. You know, it's a chicken or the egg sort of issue with transit. And I think it's that you have to provide the opportunity for this type of housing to occur to create the density that Commissioner Carnes has mentioned to allow frequency to increase and really support transit. And so we're not going to get that if we're not providing that along transit routes. So that's sort of where my thinking is right now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Givens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I have a lot of thoughts going through my mind. Well, whenever I look at these maps, I look at the yellow areas, and I'm really excited that just doing a text and policy change, we've now added so many different housing options to that. So even if we just did that, I think that's going to increase housing capacity. And I also like that that gives homeowners the opportunity to enter into the development realm. I mean, all our houses have went up in value, so you can take out home equity lines of credit and actually improve your property and create housing out of thin air. So I get really excited about that. So hybrid one resonates with me really well. that there was a lot of comment about the transit lines. I mean, there's two kind of rules of thought in planning. You either match your land use to the transit lines, or you make the transit chase your land use. I actually prefer the latter. We have really good local transit service if you go east-west in the north end, but if you go north-south, quite frankly, it sucks. You know, I live off of 6th Avenue. If I want to go to the mall, I don't have a transit option, but if I want to go downtown, it's excellent. So I want to see Pierce Transit and the other transit agencies match our land use, whatever we kind of come up with. And then the third thing that comes up is I can support Hybrid One, but, you know, I look at it and it probably doesn't go far enough, especially, you know, our friends up in Northeast Tacoma. That's why I think our approval should either, or at least I would like to see, is either our approval come with a policy that commits to neighborhood planning within the next 5 years, or it's just in our cover letter that says, hey, this is a good, you know, right now solution, but we need to revisit this later. And I just bring that up because I think there was a little bit of difference in approach on the neighborhood planning. I don't think that happens in phase two. I think that's probably a larger, a long-term goal that we need to do. So those are kind of my thoughts.
Thank you. So I guess I'm not happy with Hybrid One because I don't think it goes far enough. As Commissioner Strobel and Torres said, you know, the point is to increase housing, and you've given us those numbers on previous slides. And I don't think it increases it enough. I guess it's more of an optics issue with some of the stuff on Hybrid 2. Mostly that I see certain areas that have a lot of, I don't know if we call that peach color, and then certain area, but that, and then certain areas that I guess I feel like they're taking more of the brunt. But I guess I would like to see us go with the suggestion of Commissioner Carnes. I, especially with Hybrid One, don't like the fact that there's almost nothing in Northeast Tacoma, and that, you know, we're kind of missing out on a really good section of that northern tip of Tacoma. And I realize the whole idea, I mean, I know that the bus doesn't go down to Point Reston right now. And I know that that's a really steep slope. So I want to see something done to make all these areas more accessible. I am concerned, and I don't know where that is. I think that's the Dome District, where in Hybrid 2, it's like almost solid peach. And I'm wondering, but then again, when we start looking at community scale, that might change. So I guess, so I like Commissioner Carnes' idea. I definitely, if we were to go with closer to Hybrid 1, which I'm not advocating, we need to see some aspects of Hybrid 2 on there. And Commissioner Carnes has more to say. So go ahead, Commissioner.
So one of the issues I see is definitely that's occurring south of Proctor in particular, is that what we have there is a combination of the corridor is on Union Avenue, but the actual transit service is on Proctor Street. And so what happens is that you get sort of this overlap of two different one block buffers, which then produces a much larger, wider area than we really want. And so I think that there, if we were to look at either scenario one or scenario two, there's sort of a punch list of these sorts of little issues that would have to either be added or subtracted in order to really sort of arrive at a final product. Definitely one thing that I would, in scenario two, one thing that I would strike is along North 30th Street, the Route 13 that for Pierce Transit is, it's really only sort of a peak weekday kind of route that serves that area. And so that would be sort of a candidate for striking out of option two. But there's a route that would be traveling along South Tyler in Pierce Transit's long range plan, which would make more of that be a mid-scale opportunity. So I think that, again, sort of there is a middle ground again between these two options that I think we can find.
Any other commissioners have anything to add? Mr. Barnett, I'm not sure how you're magically going to make the perfect map, but
I have a couple of questions if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it sounds like Commissioner Carnes is really hitting on some interesting questions about maybe sort of duplicating corridors, because there happens to be a corridor next to a transit route, and you end up with a wider swath, and perhaps so certain areas get sort of more mid-scale than others. I wonder if Commissioner Carnes, if you'd be willing to kind of consult with me a bit to take a little closer look at those different transit routes. We could probably, you know, come up with some refinements just based on that. And then my second request would be, I don't think I've heard a clear direction in terms of two things. One, whether we are going to be producing a map that has any mid-scale around centers. You know, the hybrid 2 has a 2-block radius. Do we want to see that continue? Should it be reduced to 1 block or none, similar to hybrid 1? I don't know that I can do a map unless I have a little direction on that question. So I guess, and then lastly, the other difference between the two is 1 block versus 2 blocks around corridors. So those are my three questions. Commissioner Carnes, can I pick your brain further? Do we want to see mid-scale around centers? And then should we default towards 1 block versus 2 blocks?
I can answer in the affirmative.
Ah, excellent. Appreciate that.
And if I may, one more, I believe that, in terms of my own two cents, I would say that we should have at least a buffer around the regional growth centers.
Okay, so I'm hearing that's one version, at least a buffer around the two regional growth centers, which is downtown and the Tacoma Mall neighborhood.
Okay, Carolyn Edmonds, did you have an answer to Mr. Barnett's question?
Yes, Madam Chair. I wanted to underscore the support for Commissioner Carnes' proposal to enhance hybrid 1 with the transit corridors. And because I also agree that there should be some peach in Northeast Tacoma. And while we don't have transit corridors up here, this could be the beginning of it. And yes, I also think on the other 2 points, I also agree with the mid-scale around the centers. And the 1 block versus 2 blocks, I would support that as well.
So which one do you support, 1 block? I guess, and I didn't get that question. I don't think Commissioner Carnes answered that either. So I would like to hear from everybody, and I think Elliot would like to hear from everybody, if your preference is 1 block or 2 blocks. So I'd like to give everybody an opportunity to weigh in on that.
And actually, if I can, if I'm asking you to take this time and walk through it, we've got a distance around centers of 1 or 2 blocks or none, 0 to 2 blocks. We've got a distance around corridors of 1 or 2 blocks. We've got a distance around other transit lines currently of 0 or 1 block. Those are the three parameters that we have right now.
So Commissioner Edmonds, did you want to refine
the
answer?
I didn't know you were addressing me.
I wanted everybody, but you, since you just spoke, I wanted to give you the opportunity to answer first. That's all. But if you're not ready, that's fine too.
No, the question is the one block versus the two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ideally, I think it depends how much distance there are between the different transit corridors. It's like on hybrid two, where it looks like it's solid peach in some areas, you have transit corridors that are close together, and maybe one block is a better alternative than two blocks. But when you have a transit corridor that's all by itself, or one you want to create has a Northeast Tacoma, then the two block might be more appropriate.
Okay. Commissioner Strobel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I agree with this sort of approach that Elliot and Commissioner Carnes are sort of going on regarding transit, regarding the block question. I think it's great that at a minimum, we are dealing with regional growth centers as having probably two blocks associated with them and maybe one block for centers. But I know there's mixed palatability with centers right now, but that's at least where I would be at. Thanks.
Thank you. Vice Chair McGinnis?
Thank you. Elliot, in those three cases you've created, I'm for the lowest numbers in all three, again, because I think we can always dial up, but it's tougher to dial back. So lowest numbers in all three cases.
Understood.
Commissioner Horn, we have not heard from you all night long. I want to make sure you get a chance to talk, but I'm going to call on Commissioner Torres right now. So Commissioner Torres?
Just because mine's short. I am for the highest numbers in all three. So yes, centers and two blocks. I'll go for the highest and then we can negotiate that.
All right. Commissioner Horn, do you have any thoughts you want to share? We'll come back to Commissioner Horn. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, sorry, I'm dealing with a screaming child.
That was my fear.
Yeah. I mean, nothing hasn't been already said. I am certainly more favor of the hybrid one with some of these kind of tweaks and adjustments and refinements that we've previously discussed the past half an hour.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm kind of for, I guess, a mix. I can be convinced. I'm not for a minimum by any means, but I'm willing to negotiate on one versus two and anything like that. So I'll keep that in my back pocket. Commissioner Givens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that maybe a block around centers, that feels good to me because, we've been taught through, urban design to have a transition from density. So I can see some merit in that. And then I guess that's why I'm really interested in later on doing neighborhood planning, because I think we need to designate some other corridors, but I'm really uncomfortable of just making kind of willy-nilly decisions at such a high level. I think Proctor probably should have another corridor that goes north and south, and I'd love to study it, a little bit more on that and just designate the whole corridor as such.
Any other commissioners have any input? Okay, Elliot, did we muddle it more for you?
No, I think it's just recognizing that these are big decisions, and I think luckily, Commissioner Carnes, since you're so generous with your time and you'll work with me a little bit, I won't be in this alone, and we can kind of keep working through this. But I think what I'm hearing is we should probably do, a block around centers, and a block, and then revisit the corridors a little bit more specifically and look for redundancies where they may exist with other transit routes. and then come back with hopefully a hybrid of hybrids that everybody can get behind.
That sounds good. And I think most of us are willing to defer to Commissioner Karn's expertise on, especially when it has to do with transit corridors and whatnot. So
Thank you. Well, great discussion. And I think we're, I expect that we're getting close, closer and closer. Chair, if it is all right, I can, more quickly go through the remaining few slides. I think that was kind of the big conversation there. So in terms of strengthening policy commitments, this is a little bit of a confusing question because your proposal that you put out for comments really already had a strong statement about all of these issues. You know, you said, focus on design, focus on infrastructure, parks, et cetera. Everything on this list was in your initial proposals. And so here, I am just looking for direction as to where you want to refine or tweak, if there are any issues that need to be added. And in doing my kind of review of all the comments and what we put out for review, I feel like there's a short list of statements that we could, strengthen. This one here about scale being compatible with a neighborhood, we've talked a lot about that. So that's pretty clear. I think there are some meat that we can put on the bones around demolitions. We've gotten some really great input from Landmarks Preservation Commission and others on those things. On down this list here, I'm curious if there are some specific statements that the commission would like to make, such as for urban forestry, whether street trees should finally kind of be required across the board for all development in the city. We're already going to say, expand urban forestry requirements. Whether the commission is interested in tying transportation study, which you've already addressed, but specifically to the impact fees study. These are things that you could address either just in your cover letter or specifically in policy language. And then this need to revisit kind of rental and special needs housing, that was one that we didn't hit directly in the public review package, came out of the comments, and it seemed like it's worth noting in the final version. So with that, I love to hear the commission's direction.
Sorry, I was on mute. Any commissioners have any comments? Vice Chair McGinnis?
Thank you. Elliot, I cannot come in strongly enough behind preventing demolitions and trees. I love street trees, and I think that they improve any neighborhood. And I think we need to be as strong as we possibly can on preventing demolition. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, I guess I want to second that. I think that we need, especially if you're doing a development that's a multifamily, like we can put some criteria in there, like front landscaping. So not just trees, but other things too. I know some of our neighborhoods don't really have the sidewalk and then parkway set up for street trees. So I don't know how it would work in all neighborhoods. So I think we do need to be cognizant of that as we say these things, and also not leave those neighborhoods out of making, improvements and more beautiful. So I'm going to stop talking because Commissioner Horn has the same.
What is the requirement for parks and open spaces? Is it related to density or just area?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So, well, it plays out in a couple of different ways. Right now, we have landscaping and on-site requirements for certain types of development, not for single-family detached. That's where there really aren't any current landscaping or yard requirements. Beyond just sort of the setbacks and usable yard space in the back a little bit. For multifamily, we do require a certain amount of on-site tree canopy to be planted. And we do then require street trees. So that's the on-site side. In terms of off-site, that's something that we coordinate really with Metro Parks. The city doesn't really do that. We collaborate with the Parks District. And So one of the statements I think should be made strongly is that's a big need, is that kind of collaboration with other partner agencies needs to be part of phase two.
Right. Yeah. Because definitely for increasing these densities, we're not going to really be having spaces for new parks, but accessibility for parks that currently exist or funding for parks that currently exist should definitely be on the forefront. I know we previously heard something about, big development. They were saying something along the lines of having a nearby school as their open space requirement. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but I just want to be sure the accessibility to parks is especially coming to the forefront, since we are removing open space in general for allowing more and larger development. I think the accessibility and equity of parks helps kind of everybody versus just kind of some open space here and there, open space for certain people or certain neighborhoods.
Thank you. Commissioner Givens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've said this before, and I guess I'm just really looking for a policy kind of commitment for the city to, either require affordable housing, in the future, or at least conduct a study, or at least like do incentives that will really address the affordability thing. And I say that I would love it to be like a policy, and I keep looking for it because, cities define their internal work plans and do their budget allocations based on the policies that they adopted. So that's what I would really like to see, because then it would commit the city to put some money towards studying, and that would turn into, action plans and adopting other incentives and requirements for affordable housing. So I just feel like that's a big missing piece in this whole thing. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Commissioner Carnes?
Thank you. So, Elliot, in terms of any additions that I would make or highlight would be reviewing parking requirements. And the reason why I say that, and specifically having to do with commercial parking requirements, because I think that, so going through the public comment, where there was a lot of consensus was in trying to find a way to maximize the use of commercial zoning and commercial areas and vacant lots in commercial areas. And if we can find a way to sort of remove the burden or remove the tendency of those types of sites to develop into one-story strip malls, then I think that it's a win for everyone.
And I'll add, and this goes with, I think Commissioner Strobel had mentioned this, a policy to encourage family housing that kind of counters that whole micro housing trend, is that we definitely need, we're doing all this and this is great, but not only do we need housing to be affordable, but we need it to be something that a family of, whatever that family makeup is, that a family can live in.
Absolutely. And that's actually my topic number six that is going to tie back into this affordability. And I'm happy to transition to this one now if the commission's ready for that. Yeah, so as you know, we've got all the missing middle infill actions, but that's not going to address the full affordability need. And so the package has always included this call for affordability. But we did hear strongly about anti-displacement being a big priority, that promoting ownership as a pathway to wealth building is a really big priority, family size units as well. So those are things that I think we could probably strengthen in the package as well as emphasize in the commission's letter. And then in regards to affordability strategies, all along we've said, yes, that's a tool we should expand. I think there's probably a clearer message we could deliver that what Root Policy has told us is that the market can support mandatory affordable housing requirements in its strong locations, places like downtown. and that we should do that because that's otherwise we're not going to get a lot of affordable housing produced through this method, and that there are different conditions in different areas, and so we should tailor our tools so it's not a one-size-fits-all. So those would be kind of like the top-level recommendations about regulatory affordable housing incentives. And then lastly, the full spectrum of housing tools, funding, which is exactly what the Affordable Housing Action Strategy calls for as well. Does that all resonate and look about right? Anything further that you want to specify around affordability and anti-displacement?
I think you've heard us. Do any other commissioners? Commissioner Torres?
I understand the idea around promoting ownership, but for me, the way I read that, and I think in conjunction with some of the comments that we heard, it reads anti-renter, which just rubbed me the wrong way. So I don't know if we can like reword it or use a different word to like provide ownership opportunities rather than, because it feels like we're saying we don't like, we know we heard the comments that, you know, there was a lot of negativity around renters. That's not what we're trying to do, because we know that's not everyone can or wants to own a home. But that just rubs me the wrong way, that promote ownership wording. So maybe we can just reword that.
Thank you, Commissioner Torres. Commissioner Givens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Elliot, well, these, are you thinking about translating these into policies that would be in the One Tacoma Plan, or how are you thinking that these would work? Want to anticipate the product?
Yeah, good question. Well, certainly they would definitely go into the Housing Action Plan, which is kind of a more detailed. It doesn't necessarily have to be translated directly into a comprehensive plan policy. The comp plan already generally says expand these regulatory tools, you know, and look for opportunities. But I think that's really up to the commission. How do you think it should be communicated? Or do you have a strong feeling?
I don't, just as long as it's, you know, documented, it's just not this like warm and fuzzy narrative, you know, at the beginning of like, you know, a plan element or something like that. So I'm interested to see what you come up with.
Okay.
Commissioner Edmonds. Oh, sorry. Commissioner Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to speak to the affordability piece. There's two components that I feel we can't express too strongly. And that is components that are directly related to what would make a house or a home or affordable. And one is the idea that the permitting process is one of the most costly for builders. And a builder puts in a request to build, and it may take a year before the permit's approved. And by then, all the costs and expenses go up. So therefore, the price tag on the building goes up. So I think we need to emphasize in some fashion how that streamlining the permitting process. Wild, crazy ideas like a permit in a box, if a builder met very specific criteria, they could get the permit in a fraction of the time. The other piece to the affordability is the incentives. It's going to take enormous money to put towards incentives to make it worthwhile for builders to build low-cost housing, or what we term affordable housing. This market we're in, this housing market we're in, is just absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Starter homes are now $350,000 to $400,000. That's what the lowest priced homes in Tacoma are. So creating incentives so that builders will build a home that can sell for considerably less money is going to be a really necessary component of creating anything that we consider affordable.
Thank you. Made some really good points. Vice Chair McGinnis.
Thank you. Yeah, I like those affordability points. Working with developers, when we bring forth permit fees, timelines, and other utility connection fees and those things, if I tell you what they are, you will not believe me because they are monstrous. And so any a conversation about affordability will be just kind of an echo chamber unless we get a handle around timing for permits and the cost of permits and the cost of development. And secondly, I would say I love ownership because it's ownership over time that builds wealth, and wealth sends kids to college. It allows you to marry kids off. It's valuable for our community. So I like that. Thank you.
Thank you. If nobody else, some really good comments have been made and some really great suggestions. I agree. I think homeownership does promote wealth, but I also think that we do have a growing segment of our society who's not interested in home ownership, or for various reasons, it's not attainable. So I do think that we need to wordsmith that promote home ownership phrase and maybe open more pathways to a home, you know, to having a home you want to be, you know, I'll leave that up to you to figure out exactly what to say, but you know, for some people, rent, you know, they might rent and they might rent the same place for 15 years, and that's what they want. So I do think that we need to be aware of that, and we also need to be aware that there is a stigma in our society about renters, and we do not want to promote that stigma. Any other comments from commissioners? Okay. Do you have what you need from us?
I have one last question, and I've already blown your entire 2-hour estimate of time, so I apologize. But this last one, I'll just try to be as quick as I can. The proposed package includes some near-term code changes. Both of them, you know, could eventually be modified if Home in Tacoma sort of changes the landscape of our housing rules. But in the meantime, we want them to be viable options for some affordable housing to be created in the next couple of years. The religious institutions bonus has been in there since prior to the public hearing. The second one was something that we talked about last time, modifying another sort of flexible permit pathway called the development regulatory agreement. We've just put some more specificity on that, as you see on the screen here. We actually don't need to go into the details of it. Unless the commission has questions. So what I would ask is I'm still shopping this a little bit with our internal reviewers, as well as with Root Policy, because we want to make sure that this bonus makes financial sense and that a church or a housing developer could actually make use of one of these tools. And so we may tweak some of these numbers a little bit. If I have the green light to do that, I don't need any more input, but I'm also happy to accept input or answer questions.
I guess I'll put it out this way. Does anybody have any questions or any opposition to that? Commissioner Strobel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, I'm in favor of this. I just have one question on the religious institutions part, excuse me for my ignorance of this part of the code or this particular incentive. Do we also provide the same types of, bonuses to nonprofits on top of religious organizations? And I'm not familiar with that, and maybe we do. So that's just my question, but I think these are all good. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Great question. The short answer is no. This is one that the state legislature directed cities to implement, and they specified religious institutions. So that's how it's been structured up to this point.
Can I follow up, Madam Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we include like housing nonprofits as part, even though that's required? So you have this requirement that you're implementing based off of the legislature, but would we also want to provide the same opportunity for housing nonprofits as well? As a voluntary, you know, provision.
And I have that same exact question.
We certainly could. I think the reason that we sort of kept this one narrow was just that so many parts are moving right now. And so we wanted to comply with the legislature's direction, create some opportunity, but we also know that phase two is going to be this chance to revisit our whole incentive structure. So that's why it's sort of narrowly defined as of now. I think if the commission wants, I can examine and see how we could expand it beyond just religious institutions and come back and provide some options.
I know I'd like to see that. I'd like to see it expanded to housing nonprofits.
Okay. Let me see what we can come up with.
Anything else? Nobody's raising their hand. Elliot, quickly move on.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. I know that was a long discussion. Sorry for taking so long. Super useful to me. And I really want to say thank you for walking through that. And I think we have a lot to work with, and looking forward to coming forward with a draft cover letter and draft a package for your review at the next meeting. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And before we move on to our next topic, we have gone way over my 45 minutes to an hour between each break. So I'm going to give us a break now. Hopefully none of you are horrified by that. So we are going to take, I don't know, do you guys want 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 7 minutes? You see lots of five. So we're going to go ahead and do a 5 minute break. So it's 6:53 now, so we will come back at 6:58. All right, it is 6:58. So commissioners, if you are back, can you please turn your cameras back on? All right, we've got five of us back so far, which is enough for us to start again, but we'll wait another moment. Okay. So our next topic up for discussion, we lost our agenda, is the 2022 amendments. So I am going to, so it's a 2022 amendment application, and I'm going to turn this over to Larry Harala, who we have not seen, it feels like, in at least a year, but maybe I'm wrong. So welcome back to our virtual meetings.
Good evening. Good to see you all. Yeah, it's been a long time, and especially this year. It's been a very long year. I will turn the presentation on, and I think I'll let Luong start us off, and then I will jump in here in a minute.
Thank you, Larry. This is Li Huang Wong. Commissioners, this is about the 2022 annual amendment to the Comprehensive Plan and Land Use Regulatory Code. As Larry is pulling up the PowerPoint slides, our goal today is to accomplish assessment of two of the four applications currently included in the 2022 amendment package. Next slide, please. I will tag team with Larry to manage this project, and Larry will take care of the technical analysis portion and the community outreach, and I will manage the process, making sure things that need to happen and happen at the right time. So this next portion, I will briefly go over the annual amendment process, the timeline for the next immediate few steps, and the criteria used in the assessment process. And Larry will dive into the detailed of assessment of the two applications as listed. And then we'll seek your feedback, comments during or at the end of our presentation. Next slide, please. The annual amendment is 18-month process starting January of this year and slated for completion in June of 2022. We are currently at the very beginning of the scoping process, which will be followed by technical analysis and community and stakeholders engagement, which actually is carried out throughout the whole process. And upon completing the analysis, the Planning Commission will conduct a public hearing, maybe two public hearings sometimes, to receive comments from the general public about the draft recommendation. After the public hearing, the commission will wrap up its review process and forward the recommendation to the City Council. The Planning Commission's recommendation will be reviewed by the full council at the study sessions and or by designated council committees. And then the council will conduct a public hearing on the recommendation before considering adoption of the recommendation, or I should say adoption of the proposal as recommended by the Planning Commission and or as amended by the council. Next slide, please. So at this beginning of the process, we're in scoping, and the timeline for scoping is going to be carried out over the next five Planning Commission meetings. Tonight, we will do the assessment of two of the applications. The other two applications, one private and one from the department, will be reviewed and assessed at the next meeting on May 19th, at which time the commission is also going to be asked to set a date for a public hearing. The public hearing is currently scheduled for June 16th. And by the way, this public scoping hearing, conducting a public hearing during the scoping process at the get-go of a project, it's a new practice that we started doing, I would say, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, as a result of a discussion between the commission and planning staff with the intent to enhance the public involvement throughout the planning process. And then on July 7th, the commission will come back to conduct a debriefing of the hearing and consider modifications as may be appropriate to the scope of work of any application. And then on July 21st, the commission will make a determination on whether these applications will be accepted and moved forward for technical analysis. Now, the commission's determinations by the code should be made within 120 days upon the closure of the application period. The application period was closed on March 31st. So that 120-day period runs through the end of July. And so the meeting on July 21st is just within the timeline. Now, in fact, if all goes well, the commission may be able to make that determination on July 7th. We'll see how it goes at the public scoping hearing. Next slide. So during this scoping process, there are two sets of criteria as required by the code that the Planning Commission and planning staff will have to follow as guidelines when we review the applications. The first set includes five questions. One, is the proposal legislative and subject to commission's review? Two, has the issue that's being proposed been studied recently as part of other studies or projects, or is the study area is part of some kind of study that has been studied recently? Or are there any projects that are currently underway or being planned that this particular proposal may be incorporated into? If the answer to these questions are yes, then there may be a reason for the commission to consider otherwise, other than moving this project forward. The third question is, has the staff got an opportunity to review the application, and what is the initial thought or reaction of the staff? Number four, in addition to what is being proposed by the applicant, are there other options? For example, if the request is to change the land use designation from A to B, could it be from A to C or D? Or could the land use designation remain as A, but we're going to add some conditions? And so those are kind of examples of other options that may be considered. And the last question on this first set of criteria has to do with the expected amount of analysis that are needed for the project. Would it be manageable given the Planning Commission and planning staff's priorities and current workloads? And so accordingly, should the proposal be scaled down, be conducted in phases, be delayed, or be declined? So those are the questions the commission and staff need to answer when we review the project. Next slide, please. And then when the Planning Commission makes the determination, there are three questions as required by the code that we need to answer. One, is the application complete? And if not, what additional information that may be needed to make it complete? Two, is the scope of work good to go, or should it be modified, and how? And three, if the commission moves the application forward, would it be considered during this current amendment cycle or in the future? So those are types of questions on this slide and the last slide that the commission and staff need to consider when we review the slide. So keep those questions in mind as Larry is going to begin the detailed assessment of the two applications. So I'll pause here to see if you have any questions before we turn it over to Larry. Okay, Larry, thank you.
Thank you. So the first application is the New Gold application, and this is at 4601 South Orchard Street, right on the border boundary, really, between both Fircrest and University Place, right across the street there to the west. It's a three-acre portion of a larger site that's already been developed as the New Cold Storage Facility, about a 34-acre site overall, and this is a three-acre additional site that's controlled by that entity. You can see a little bit better here. It's nestled in against the landfill property to the right side of the screen there, and then the interior of this heavy industrial property to the left side. And the request is to change the One Tacoma Plan land use designation from light industrial to heavy industrial. And really, just in a nutshell, I mean, the light industrial is less impactful. It is uses more along the lines of things like potentially mini storage or more passive warehousing use. There's typically lower noise, lower traffic, especially heavy truck traffic generation, and it's generally lower impact. There's height allowances that are a little higher in heavy industrial than there are in light industrial zoning categories typically. Heavy industrial obviously is this type of use, and you can see the facility here on the screen. There is many loading bays. This is there's heavy truck traffic to it. And this is a cold storage facility. And if you don't know about this facility, they bring in primarily a lot of seafood, and it goes into cold storage, which is essentially lifted up into this building. And so that's really the difference between these designations. The scoping options on this one, there's not a lot, and I'm just essentially pointing out the obvious here. There's certainly, the commission has the option of suggesting that this go into a future phase. And then this site itself maybe, you know, presents the option, the questions of, you know, well, can this be used for something else? Is this, should this be heavy industrial property? But there's nothing that staff's identified right now as a clear secondary option. And unfortunately, there's no sort of conditional option on these to sort of create any conditions. So with that, I'll move to the second application. And this is the South Sound Christian Schools application. And this, and I'll apologize in packet, I made an error, and I, on one of the slides, I actually had the Orchard address. I apologize for that. Hopefully it was apparent that this is the 2052 South 64th Street site. And this is 8 separate parcels, sort of all together, that are being proposed for the land use designation change. And the one of the things to note on this is that there is essentially 2 requests. One is that some of the parcels be redesignated from single family residential to multifamily low density. And then the other request is that that there's a designation change from single family residential to general commercial. And here in the next couple of slides, I'll explain that. So single family residential, it's apparent it's the designation that's reserved for single family properties, primarily single family detached housing in those areas. The density typically is something on the order of 6 to 12 units an acre. Multifamily low density, and this is sort of akin to the zoning category we may see here, would be something like, you know, an R4L designation. And we're still going to see sort of, you know, neighborhood scale as far as height and building size and bulk. And we're just going to see a little bit more density, 14 to 36 units an acre. Typically these sites are seen as, you know, being transit proximate. Now, obviously the discussion you've been having with Hillman Tacoma is very central to this. And I'll get to that in a second as far as our options. So the second request, and just to back up, just to point out, it's the property that's highlighted in red here would be the property, the parcels that are being requested to go to general commercial. And so the big difference here, again, single family residential, general commercial in the city of Tacoma are C1 and C2, particularly C2 zonings actually are not commercial development exclusive in terms of allowed use. So effectively general commercial would open the door to zoning categories, which would potentially be mixed use. And so that's why you'll see that there's a density that I have listed here. Typically general commercial, we're gonna see a little bit more intense commercial development they're gonna have a little bit more traffic, maybe longer hours of operation. In this case, the applicant has stated that they want to work with Bar Green Ellison, which is a restaurant supply company, which is already just right around the corner here. They're a local Tacoma company, and they have a couple of facilities that it sounds like they're very serious about wanting to consolidate, and it would have something to do with showroom and distribution center for that. And so, but again, this designation change, there's no conditioning. We couldn't require that development be the only development that could go in. This is it's a designation change request. And so we'll be presenting as we go forward here into scoping the options along those lines. And so with this, there's a little bit more option consideration just to give you the preview. And obviously, as we go forward into subsequent meetings, we'll bring as much detail as the commission would like on this. But just generally, obviously, there's 8 different parcels. So there could be adjustment, there could be a subtraction of parcels or addition of parcels. And then there's the 2 requests. One is to redesignate to multifamily and the other is to general commercial. Of course, the commission could opt to not pursue one of those or to even phase to decide to do the next one on our next cycle. And then, of course, that's just generally an option on all of these applications to delay to a future cycle. Now, with this, there is the obvious question is that particularly with redesignating from single family to multifamily, with the discussion around Hillman Tacoma, it's possible that this process would be going even after Hillman Tacoma phase 2 is wrapping up. So it is a little bit interesting as far as timing goes. So that's just something to point out. And with that, I am ready to open it up to questions if you have questions.
So I think we should break up the questions to the focus on one proposal first, the new COLT proposal, and then move on to the other one just to keep it separate. Am I echoing? Okay, I'm echoing to myself. So my question on the new COLT one is, and this is more of a, if we move forward with this, or maybe this will determine whether we move forward with this, I want to know, one, since it's adjacent to the landfill, what the landfill, what designation the landfill would fall into if we had landfills in a designation. And two, why is that piece of property a different designation than the rest of the property? Like, was that intentional? So I would like you to look at the history of that area zoning, because I don't want to touch it if there was some intentionality about it that still exists. And then also, I don't like creating islands. So I want to see what the, I realize the landfill's a landfill and it's probably always going to be the landfill, but I want to know what that would be. So that's my questions for that one. And I don't know if you have answers now or just making notes, and you'll get back to us later.
Yeah, I'll get back to you later. I'll definitely bring you a detailed history on that. And I'll answer that question in the packet and in our subsequent presentation to you.
Okay, that would be great. Commissioner Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In our packet, you gave us a spreadsheet summary, and under the current land use and zoning, you state the groundwater protection district overlay is part of this. I want to know how the overlay works with this particular piece of property and what the impacts on the groundwater protection district could be if we change to heavy industrial.
We can definitely bring that forward. Now there is a third application that you'll be receiving a report on at the next Planning Commission meeting that's very central to the South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District. And so you'll be getting information on that as well. But I certainly, in future packet, can address that. And again, I'll just point out that the 34-acre site just to the that's adjacent to this, that's owned by the same property owner, is that heavy industrial designation already. But I definitely, I hear the question, and I'll make sure that we specifically address the Groundwater Protection District regarding this request.
Yeah, given our experience with the tide flats and the angst about light industrial versus heavy industrial, I really want to be cautious about how we approach this particular application. Thank you.
Do any other commissioners have any questions on this? And I did want to, I know you all know this, but I just want to make sure our attendees in the audience know the four comment letters we received were all comment letters in support of this application, I believe. So I just want to make sure people in the audience know that, and they can read those comment letters when they are, if they're not already posted to the public, when they are. So Commissioner Horn.
So is this just for us to go over if we want to look at this in any more detail, or if we're just going to just reject it now? I'm just trying to understand how much detail and discussion right now to put in.
This is just the preview, just to quickly answer that question. It's the preview essentially for you, just to get you familiar. We will not be asking the next question that we ask the commission will be whether or not to set the hearing for public scrutiny. So you will not be making a decision really until July. In terms of accepting or denying the applications.
Gotcha. Yeah, the biggest question I would have in that area is just traffic pattern, because both there's two entrances to that area and they're both uncontrolled, and one of them goes by a bunch of residential homes and properties. So that's the only information I'd want to see.
All right, thank you. Anybody else have any other questions or comments on this one? If not, we will move to the next one, which is this is the South Sound Christian Schools application. And my question on this one, and I think before we can, you know, I think the biggest thing before we can decide if we are going to accept this application and move forward with it is how the overlap between what we're working on now with Home in Tacoma is with this, because, you know, it's a waste of their money to go through this process and it's a waste of our time if they're going to get if they can possibly get what they want, because then neither one's guaranteed with our Home in Tacoma process with regards to the housing. And since that was kind of, you know, the beginning premise for their application, because they said it was originally in, when we looked at this, a rezone before, and then it was taken out because we apparently mistakenly thought that it was being used as a school. So the first thing I want to know is, I mean, how will Home in Tacoma impact this? And if Home in Tacoma already kind of does that, then I guess my opinion straight off is we should send this back to them and say, come back to us later if you still need it. But I know we're not making that decision right now, but I think we need that information. And with that, I will, Commissioner Gibbons.
Hey, thank you, Madam Chair. This one really intrigues me, but I just need a little bit more information whenever we move forward. And just a sidebar, I did quickly check. It was not on the hybrid one or two that was, you know, sent to us. So I don't know, for whatever it's worth, but I'd throw that out there. So Larry, it's nice seeing you again. In like the future briefings, could you give us an update on like how the city's street improvement policies would come online, like especially like 66th Street doesn't look like it goes all the way through. That might change kind of the merit, whether or not, you know, it should be approved or not. So maybe if you could just bring us up to speed on how all that would kind of play out. That was the biggest thing for me. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other commissioners have any questions or comments on this one? All right, I'm not seeing any hands at this point. Larry, do you have what you need from us, or do you need something more substantial from us?
No, that's excellent. Thank you for the feedback. And I will take your comments and questions and try to make sure that we get that information in the packet going forward.
Okay, thank you.
And Chair Peterson and Commissioners, just want to clarify that you have four or five questions tonight for the two applications. I just want to clarify procedurally. First of all, Larry and I will bring some information back to you at the next meeting before these two applications are sent out for public scoping hearing. But in case you don't have all the information from us, you can still, I think you should still send these two out as they are for public scoping hearing. And then during and after the hearing, you will deliberate on it and then come back and consider modifying the scope of work or considering accepting or denying. So your decision-making, as Larry just said, is after the public scoping hearing. So in case you don't have all the information next meeting, the suggestion is still that you move these forward for public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. So I just want to clarify, because I know you're suggesting we move them forward for the public scoping hearing, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but what if when Larry comes back to us with additional information, we kind of know at that point, like, no way, this isn't going to fly. Can we then can we make the choice not to put that out for the public scoping hearing? The public scoping hearing is something we added a few years ago, and it's not required in the process, is it?
It's not required in a code, but we would like to do that. This is a part of enhancing the public involvement from the get-go of these major projects. And so we strongly recommend that the commission goes through the public scoping hearing process for all applications that we received. And then after the public scoping hearing, we make a determination whether to move them forward or otherwise.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear with the public on that process, and that just because and I'm not saying, because I have no idea where we're going to go with these, but I just want to make sure it's clear to the public that just because it goes to a public scoping hearing does not mean it's necessarily going forward, or that it's not necessarily going forward as is. So. Sorry about that. I lost all of you. All right. So are there any other questions on this or any other clarifications from staff on this? Okay. Then I think that our discussion item is concluded.
Thank you. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
So next two on the agenda are upcoming meetings and communication items. Brian will cover the communication items. I will just briefly talk about the next meeting. We will, the home in Tacoma and this 2022 amendment will come back. There will be a briefing from Public Works staff on the impact fees program update. Previously, I mentioned this could be a joint session with the Transportation Commission. That is not happening. It'll be Public Works staff and their consultant coming to us. And the timing is kind of critical for the progress of the project. So Planning Commission, please try to accommodate three items on the agenda for next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. And we've got some communication items on the agenda. We've got Historic Preservation Month coming up, or it's actually now. So I encourage everybody to get a little bit more information about that and participate in whatever way you see fit. And we also have the note about the IPS agenda. And right now I would like to open up the floor to commissioners for status reports on the TOD advisory group and the housing equity task force, if there's any additional information to add on them, on those two. I don't see any, I'm seeing shaking heads. So we don't have any status reports to have. Staff, do you have any other communication items you wish to share with us?
Thanks, Chair. I will just mention a couple of things quickly. One is Tide Flats, or the non-interim regulations. As council or commission's probably aware, the council last week held its public hearing. We had, I think, somewhere between 70 and 80 folks came and testified, and over 400 written comments. So no surprise that the project is continuing to garner lots of interest. The council's had a long discussion now at a couple of study sessions, and we will see their first reading is scheduled for next Tuesday. So at that point, we'll probably have a better feel for potential amendments, if any. And then you'll probably notice on the tentative agendas that there's one for May 19th, but not one for June 2nd, which is the one after that. I will note that at this point, we don't have anything on the docket for June 2nd. So it is possible that that meeting that may be suggested to be canceled. Part of the reason why there's three items here. And so that may be something. The only thing that would probably throw that off would honestly be if the Home in Tacoma Project's recommendations don't get finalized at the May 19th meeting. But based on all the conversation earlier, it sounds like the commission's in pretty good shape to finalize that one here at the next meeting. And with that, I just throw out to Commissioner Carnes first the appreciation for the offer, and keep your eyes open to your email. I think Elliot's probably, if he hasn't already, he'll reach out to you very soon to schedule that sit down so we can go over and look at those maps one last time. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. All right, with that, I will adjourn this meeting at 7:30 p.m.